Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm pleased to be here with you to talk about getting deeply connected with yourself and with others. I'm going to be sharing with you what creates the inner connection and what creates the relationship connection. Excuse me. And what creates disconnection with yourself and with your relationship. So, and then about, somewhere down the line, I'm going to be sharing with you, take just a couple minutes to explain some of the products that we have, but you certainly don't need to buy anything to receive great benefit from this class. So I'm going to start with talking about what's called the abandonment wound. The abandonment wound is what most of us experience as we were growing up. Most of us came from families where we just did not get the love that we needed. We weren't attended to. Our feelings, our needs were not attended to in the way that we needed. And, our parents likely did the best they could. I don't think most parents decide to have kids and say, boy, I'm going to do the best I can to mess up my kids. You know, they want to be loving, and they do the very best they can. But the problem is they've got their own abandonment wounds and their own fears. And many of us had parents who they didn't really know who they were. They couldn't see themselves. They couldn't see us. They couldn't relate to us in ways that we really needed. And so when our needs are not being met, when we're not listened to in the way that we need to be listened to, when we don't receive the love that we needed, we have an abandonment wound. We have a place inside of us that was very, very hurt. And what happens when we're very little and we get hurt is that we can't handle it. It's too big a pain. I mean, especially if there was major abuse, physical, emotional, sexual abuse, the pain is way, way too big for little kids to handle. And so we had to find ways of managing the pain, the loneliness and the heartache and the heartbreak and the grief of childhood. And so we learned various ways. We learned to shut down, to stay in our heads and not in our bodies so that we couldn't feel what's going on. We learned to try and have control in various ways, to be good, to give ourselves up, to get angry, to resist, to shut down. I mean, we learned all kinds of ways to try and get the love that we needed and to avoid the pain that we couldn't handle. And this was appropriate. We needed to do that. We absolutely needed to learn to get through childhood, especially if it was very, very difficult, without feeling the depth of the pain, the depth of the loneliness and the heartbreak that we felt as children. And so we grew up with these what we call protections, ways of avoiding pain. We grew up believing that we couldn't handle pain. And even if we had very loving parents, it's not likely that they role modeled how to handle pain. Most of us, even if we had parents who were very kind and loving to us, they might not have been kind and loving to themselves. They might not have known how to take responsibility for their own feelings, how to learn from their feelings. And so we did not have the role modeling of what it means to show up for ourselves, connect to ourselves, and take responsibility for ourselves. And so with the people that I work with, virtually all of them had that experience. Either they didn't feel loved, or even if they did, they had parents who didn't know how to love themselves, didn't know how to love each other, didn't role model that level of personal responsibility. So this is where we are when we grow up. We've learned to disconnect from ourselves. We've learned to disconnect from our feelings. We've learned to disconnect from a source of spiritual guidance, which is essential for filling ourselves up with love. And so then we go into relationships hoping to connect to a partner and hoping a partner will give us what it is that we didn't get when we were growing up. But if you think about it, it's quite unrealistic to think that somebody is going to be able to give you what your parents didn't give you. If you're not giving it to yourself, they're not giving it to themselves, because we attract people at our common level of woundedness. And so to the degree that you've learned to abandon yourself, that's the same degree that somebody you're going to meet has learned to abandon him or herself. And they're looking to you to make them happy and fill them up, and you're looking to them to make you happy and fill you up and make you feel worthy and safe and lovable and give you what you didn't get. And both people are looking to connect, because connection is one of the deepest joys in life. Connecting with another person on a deep heart level is probably the greatest joy that there is in life, whereas disconnection from a loved one is likely the deepest pain, one of the deepest pains, whether it's disconnection through a death or disconnection through leaving or disconnection through a person just shutting down. It's a very, very painful situation for us. Now, the problem is, as adults, we cannot truly maintain that wonderful connection with somebody when we're disconnected from ourselves, disconnected from a source of spiritual guidance, because we still have to be able to manage the deep feelings of loneliness and heartache and heartbreak that are a part of life. And if you've never learned to manage these feelings, then when the inevitable difficulties in a relationship occurs, when somebody gets angry with you or somebody shuts you out or withdraws, somebody says mean things and it hurts your heart, and you don't know how to manage those feelings without closing your heart, then what's going to happen is you're going to close down, and you're going to respond to that person with your own protective behavior, your own anger, or your own withdrawal, or your own blame, and pretty soon the two of you are in this protective circle where you're each closing down to not be hurt by the other, and you're each behaving in ways that are hurtful to the other. And so it becomes vital, if you're going to maintain a connection with a loved one, that you learn how to manage your core painful feelings, what we call the core feelings. There's two kinds of feelings that we all need to learn to attend to. And one is what we call the wounded feelings, which are the feelings that we create by our own thoughts, our own beliefs, our own actions. And this is the anxiety and the depression, the guilt, the shame, the anger. But then there's the core feelings of life. And these are the feelings that we experience from something external, from somebody being unloving, from a difficult situation of life. And this is the loneliness and the heartache and the heartbreak and the grief and the sorrow of life. And if you've never learned to manage these feelings, and if instead you turn to addictive behaviors, you turn to substances or processes, you turn to anger, you turn to withdrawal, shutting down, you turn to self-judgment or judgment of others, blaming others, or you turn to making somebody else responsible for you, then you're managing these feelings in a way that creates a disconnection from yourself and from your partner. And yet this is how most people have learned to manage their core feelings. So there's no way to maintain a connection with somebody else when you're going to disconnect from yourself when you're feeling bad. And so one of the ways of learning to be connected with a loved one is to learn to be connected with yourself and learn to manage all of the feelings that you have in ways that do not create an inner and relationship disconnection. And then the other reason why it's so vital to maintain a connection with yourself is that if you're disconnected from yourself and you're disconnected from a source of guidance, then what's happening is that you're looking to the other person basically to be your source of love, which means to be your higher power. This person is supposed to be the funnel of love for you. This person is supposed to be the dependable source of love, which in reality there's only one dependable source of love in the universe, and that's spirit. Whatever you call God, the universe, the love that's all around you, the all, whatever you want to call that, That's the only dependable source of love that there is, and it's here. It's always here. But if you don't know how to connect to that, and you don't know how to stay connected to that, then what's going to happen is that you're going to turn to your partner to be your dependable source of love. Now, I'd like you to take a moment and look at yourself and see if any of you believe that you can be a dependable source of love, that you can be 100% loving to another person all the time, that they can always rely on you, that you're never going to get angry, you're never going to shut down, you're never going to be mean, that you'll always be there 100% loving. You know, you'd be an enlightened being if you could do that. And so it's unrealistic. If you can't do that, to expect that another person is going to do that. And so, since we need a dependable source of love, if we haven't learned how to tap into that dependable source of love that's always here, you're going to create a codependent relationship, which is a relationship that doesn't work well. It doesn't last long, or it's very conflicted, because you're each going to be looking to the other person for that love that you're not giving yourself and you're not tuning into in spirit. And you're going to be angry or upset or hurt that that other person isn't loving you the way you want to be loved. And so the way out of that is to learn how to connect with yourself and your own dependable source of love so that you're not abandoned inside and you're not dependent on a partner for you not to feel abandoned inside. As long as you're abandoning your own feelings, then you're not going to be able to maintain a connection with somebody else. Now, think for a moment. What do you do when someone you love disconnects from you? What do you do? How do you behave if they're angry or blaming or withdrawn or judgmental? Just think about what you learned to do as a child when you could not handle the heartbreak of disconnection. And think if that's what you're doing now. What do you do when somebody important to you is mean or angry or blaming or withdrawn or judgmental, resistant? How do you handle that? Are you able to keep your heart open to that person? Or do you go into your own anger or blame or shutdown? And think about what happens. Think about what happens when one person does that and then the other person does that. And what happens in the relationship? Of course, you cannot maintain a connection. And yet, you're going to automatically respond that way until you learn how to take 100% responsibility for your own feelings, so that you can keep your heart open, so that you can stay open and loving with yourself, with your partner, take loving care of yourself in the face of somebody you care about being angry, being withdrawn, being blaming or judgmental. So now we're going to talk about how to do that. How do you learn to keep your heart open? Now, this was a question that I had for many, many years because I've studied relationships. I've been doing counseling for 43 years now. And it took me a very, very long time to understand what it meant to be able to truly take responsibility for my own feelings, which is what allows me now to keep my heart open. Because there actually is a process that moves you out of being a victim of other people's behavior and into the power to take loving care of yourself and keep your own heart open regardless of what's going on. And so I'm going to speak to you about this process, which we call inner bonding. This is what inner bonding is all about. It's a six-step process that when practiced over time, this is not an instant process. It takes anything that really is worthwhile. It takes time and practice. So I'm going to go through the inner bonding process with you. If you learn and practice this process, You will learn to stay connected with your own feelings and with the source of guidance so that you can manage your pain. And once I go through the process, I'm going to give you an example of what it's like if someone gets angry and withdrawn and disconnects from you, what you can do to manage that with inner bonding. So the first step of inner bonding is that you need to make a decision that you're willing to feel your pain and take responsibility for it. Because pain is a teacher. Your feelings are an inner source of guidance. Your feelings are informational. All feelings are informational. Just like physical pain is informational, is letting you know that you have to attend to something, so is emotional pain. And so are good feelings. Good feelings are letting you know that you're taking good care of yourself. The wounded feelings, as I said, the wounded feelings of guilt and shame and anxiety and depression and anger, these are all telling you that you're abandoning yourself. And the core painful feelings of loneliness and heartache and heartbreak and grief are telling you that somebody else may be behaving in unloving ways to you, and that's important information as well. So in step one, you make the decision that you really want to feel your feelings rather than protect against them with your self-judgment, with your addictions, with staying in your head, with making others responsible, that you want to feel them. And you want to learn from them, and you want to take responsibility for them. Now, when I first started doing inner bonding, I had spent so many years being external, so many years being tuned into other people's feelings. I was really aware, very hyper aware of what other people felt, but I really had no idea what I felt. I was so used to looking around at everybody else and trying to take care of them so that they would be loving to me, that I just had no idea what I felt. And it took me quite a while to learn to stay present in my body in order to be aware of my feelings as they come up. It takes a lot of practice to learn to get out of your head and stay present in your body, so that you know when you're feeling something, and then you can attend. One of the things that you can either buy online or you can buy from our office is a little gadget called a motivator, which it's like a pager, and you can program it to buzz against you like every minute or every 5 minutes or every half an hour, every hour. And this is what I used when I first started doing inner bonding, and I wanted to become conscious. I wanted to become aware of my own feelings in the moment that they were happening. I wore the motivator, and I programmed it at the beginning, like for every 5 minutes. And every time it would buzz, it reminded me to go inside and to check with what I was feeling and to open to learning with my feelings and to open to learning with my guidance. And I was so happy to have that, because I needed to be reminded every 5 minutes in order to develop the skill of being present inside my body. Now, of course, it's been many, many years, and I don't live in my head anymore. I live in my body now, and I'm aware of my feelings as soon as I feel them, as soon as they're there, and I attend to them right away. And so I rarely go into any kind of deep pain, because I'm attending right away. I'm attending to what I'm thinking that may be causing any anxiety or distress. I'm attending to what's going on with another person, whether they're being loving or unloving, so that I can take care of myself in the face of that. But it did take quite a while for me to learn to stay present in my body. So that's step one of inner bonding, is wanting to feel your feelings, staying present in your body, and wanting responsibility for them. Now, step two is moving into the intention to learn. In the inner bonding process, there's only two intentions at any given moment, which makes it kind of easier to know what your intention is. And one intention is the intention to protect against pain, against responsibility for your pain with some form of controlling behavior, which is what we were talking about before. And the other intention is the intention to learn about and take full responsibility for all of your feelings. And what happens when you move into the intention to learn is that your whole being opens. That desire, that curiosity to learn is what opens the heart. It's also what raises your frequency high enough so that you can access the intelligence of the universe. We live in an intelligent universe, and it is always communicating with us. Our soul, which a part of our soul is within us and informs us through our feelings, but the other part of our soul is all around us and informs us through thoughts and images and dreams and other ways. And so we are always being informed when we're open. But when we choose the intention to protect and control, we close down, which lowers our frequency and makes it impossible to tune into all that information. It's like we're a receiver, like we're a radio or we're a TV, and you turn the radio to a particular station, and you get that station. But if you turn to a different station, then you're not, and you want the other one, you're not going to get the other one unless you turn to the right station. And so we're like that. Our frequency needs to be at a particular level, like the right station, in order for us to access our spiritual guidance. And when we choose the intention to protect and control, we lower our frequency, the rate at which we vibrate, so low that we cut off that information. And so going into that intention to protect and control, going into self-judgment, going into addictions, going into codependency, staying in our head, all of that, all of those ways of avoiding our feelings, lowers our frequency, makes it impossible for us to access the information that's here. Now, whether or not you have a spiritual belief system doesn't matter. The fact is that if you were to practice moving into an intention to learn over and over again and asking the questions about what is loving to you, you'll start to get answers. This is what happens. You don't have to believe a certain way. You don't have to believe in God. But when you really, really want to learn, your true intention is to learn about what's loving to you. I don't mean learning like the lottery numbers or something like that. I'm talking about learning what's loving to you. This is what this is about. It's about asking your spiritual guidance questions about what's loving to you and being willing to take those actions. And so in step two of inner bonding, we consciously move into the intention to learn. We breathe into our heart. We get present inside with love. We invite the presence of love and compassion inside our heart, and we move into deep curiosity about our feelings. And in step three, we do a dialogue where we're asking the feeling part of us, which you can visualize if you want to, as an inner child. We ask that feeling part of us, is there something that I'm telling you or some way I'm treating you that's causing you to feel anxious or depressed or shamed, or what's happening externally that's causing you to feel that heartache or that loneliness or that sense of sorrow or that fear of real and present danger? What's happening externally? And so when we move into that intention to learn, we become what we call in inner bonding the loving adult. And the loving adult is who we are when we're connected with our higher guidance and we're truly in the intention to learn. And when you move into that frequency and you ask yourself, you ask your feelings to inform you, you will be amazed at the amount of information you get. But just like if you were with an actual child and you wanted to understand something about the child, and let's say the child was crying, and you said to the child, well, why are you crying? What's the matter with you? Why are you crying? The child is not likely to give you an accurate answer. But if you're caring, and you're compassionate, and you're gentle, and you're kind, and you say to the child, honey, what's the matter? I'd really like to know why you're crying. The child might feel safe enough to let you in. Well, it's the same thing on the inner level. If you're in judgment, if you say to the feeling part of you, that inner child, well, what's the matter? Why are you anxious again? Or, you know, you're just numbed out. Why are you so numbed out? Or, you know, you're always angry. What's the matter with you? You're not going to understand. You're not going to get clear answers. But if you move into compassion and caring and kindness and gentleness towards yourself, and you ask that feeling part of you, you know, I really want to know if there's something I'm doing or telling you, or there's something happening externally that I need to attend to, let me in on why you're feeling this pain that you're feeling. You will start to get a whole lot of extremely valuable information. And once you get the information, you may begin to understand some beliefs, like you might ask, you know, is there something I'm telling you that's causing you to feel anxious? And that child part of you might say, well, yeah, you're telling me that I can't make a mistake, or I better not fail, or I got to be perfect, or this person has to like me, or I'll be alone my whole life. I mean, these are all the kinds of things that we often tell ourselves that create a lot of anxiety. And so as you do the process, you start to become aware of a lot of false beliefs that you might be operating from that's causing you to feel bad. And once you understand what the belief is that may be causing your anxiety or your depression or your shame or your guilt, and once you understand what may be happening externally with another person, then in step 4, you go to your spiritual guidance and you ask, what is the truth about these beliefs, and what is the loving action towards myself? Those are the two questions we ask. What is the truth, and what is the loving action? And when you're really open, when your mind and your heart and your soul is really open to learning, the answers will start to come. Answers will pop into your mind as words, as images. You may get feelings about something, but the spirit will find a way to answer the question. It may be in a dream. It may be later in that day. It may be when you pick up a book. It may be when you're talking to somebody. But spirit will find a way to point you in the right direction. Spirit will find a way to help you see what the truth is about your false beliefs and what the loving action towards yourself is. It may not be instantaneous. It may take time, especially if this is a new practice for you. But for those people who have been practicing inner bonding for quite a while, it's very gratifying to them to know that they're never alone, that they're always receiving information and love from spirit and information about their beliefs and about what the loving action is. So then once you get that, step 5 of inner bonding is you take the loving action towards yourself, whatever it is, whether it's speaking up for yourself or eating differently or getting more sleep or keeping your heart open in a difficult situation. It could be all kinds of different loving actions. Once you get what that is, and then you take the loving action in step 5, and then in step 6, you go back in to see how you're feeling. You're evaluating. How am I feeling now as a result of this loving action that I've taken, which may be just moving into compassion and out of self-judgment? How do I feel as a result of taking the loving action? And if you're feeling safer, if you're feeling more peaceful, then you know that you're taking the loving action. But if you still feel badly, then you have to go through the steps and discover another loving action until you feel better. And so these 6 steps are a powerful, powerful roadmap towards moving out of pain and into peace and into joy and into connection with yourself, which then allows you to keep your heart open so that you can connect with somebody else. So let's take an example here. Let's say that you're in a relationship and your partner gets angry with you. Maybe they do it overtly by really being critical or judgmental or yelling, or maybe they do it covertly by shutting down, withdrawing, but you can feel the angry energy in either case. So if you're coming from your wounded self, which is all the with, then you're likely going to either give yourself up and try and be good and try and have control over that person not being angry or withdrawn. You're going to get angry yourself. You're going to withdraw yourself, or you're going to get real compliant. But you're going to do something that you learn that's programmed into you. But if you've been practicing inner bonding and you are able to stay connected with yourself, then it's going to look totally differently. So let's say that my partner gets angry. And the first thing that I'm aware of is I can feel a feeling in my stomach. I can feel a feeling in my heart. That energy doesn't feel good. It feels bad. It hurts my heart. It feels bad to have my partner disconnected from me. And so the first thing I'm going to do is be tuned into that. This doesn't feel good. This feels really bad. This person is being unloving to me. And if I've been practicing inner bonding, I totally and completely accept that I have no control over that person. I have no control about whether that person is open or closed. I can give myself up all day, and that's not going to change whether or not that person stays angry. I can get angry back. It's not going to change it. I can explain. I can defend. I can teach. I can do all kinds of things. And, you know, maybe sometimes I can influence that person, but I certainly have no control over what that person does, whether they stay connected to me or whether they stay disconnected from me. But what I do have control over is me. I have control over how I choose to respond to this situation. And I have the choice, of course, to try and control that person, or I have the choice to take loving care of me. And as a loving adult, what I'm going to do is stay tuned into the fact that this feels really badly and imagine that I have an actual child who somebody is treating badly. Somebody is angry at or blaming or shutting out. Somebody is treating this child really badly. And it's my job. I'm responsible for this child. And so I have two options. As a loving adult, I have two options with this person, and really only two. One is I can move into an intention to learn with my partner. I can say from an open and loving and caring place, honey, you seem upset and angry, and I'd really love to find out what's going on. I don't want to be blamed, or I don't want to be yelled at and shut out, but there must be a good reason that you're feeling this way, and if you're willing to talk to me about it, I'd love to find out what's happening. Now, if you know that if you approach this person from a warm and caring place, that this person will open, then that's really a great thing to do, because that immediately starts to create a connection. The intention to learn is very, very powerful. If you're truly wanting to learn about yourself and about your partner, then you're already creating a connection. It's very powerful when you say to somebody, you know, there must be something that I've done. There must be something going on between us and our system. And I'm really open to hearing what's going on and how my behavior is affecting you and what you're thinking. I'm really open to exploring all this with you. Now, that does create a deep sense of intimacy if your partner also opens. But what if, you know, in your experience, you were to say something and you know that your partner is not going to open, that person may even use it against you. They may get even angrier. They may say, oh, don't give me that psychobabble. They may attack further. Then, of course, it's not loving to you to move into an intention to learn with somebody who you already know is not going to be open. And you can't do that. You can't move into an intention to learn as a manipulation to get somebody to open. You have to be genuinely curious and not be invested in the outcome of trying to get that person to open. Because what happens with so many people is somebody closes, you feel, you know, very lonely in the face of their being closed. You know, your heart hurts in the face of their being closed, and you want to try and get them open. And so you go to them with a question, but really your agenda is to have control over getting them to be open. And they're not going to respond well to that at all. And they might not even respond to a genuine openness with no agenda, but there's a better chance of that. So the only other choice, if you know that this person is not going to be open, is what we call lovingly disengaging. And this is a powerful way to stay connected with yourself, but disengage from an interaction that is unloving to you. And so that might go something like saying to your partner, you know, this doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to be yelled at or blamed or shut out or whatever it is that's going on. And so, you know, I love you. I'd love to talk about this when you're open. But right now, I'm going to go and take a walk, or I'm going to go and read a book, or I'm going to go and call a friend, or whatever it is. I'm going to go watch my favorite TV show, whatever it is. I'm going to go and take care of myself, basically. But I'm not going to go with a closed energy. See, there's a big difference between lovingly disengaging and withdrawing. Withdrawal is a form of control. Withdrawal is generally a punishment. It's saying to that person, I'm going to pull my love away from you to punish you. You can't treat me this way, and I'm going to show you you can't by pulling my love away from you. And so, you know, you'll see, you'll feel bad, and then you'll stop disconnecting from me. That's withdrawal. Well, that only perpetuates the negative system. Lovingly disengaging isn't at all about punishing the other person. It's not at all controlling. There's no agenda about what the other person is supposed to do. It's about taking care of yourself. It's about saying, ouch, this doesn't feel good. I don't really want to be treated this way. So if you're not going to open and stop blaming or being angry or stop being, you know, shut down, then I'm going to go do something else. And I'll check in with you in a half an hour and see if, you know, we can talk. If not, that's fine. But I'm not going to engage in this. And what happens very often if you lovingly disengage and you keep your heart open is that then the other person is left with their own stuff. See, if you engage and you get mad and you get angry and you withdraw and you shut them out, now they can point the finger and say, see what you're doing. But if you lovingly disengage, then the other person is really left with their own stuff. And very often they'll just move through it, and the next time you're around them, they'll be open, and then you can share with each other and open and see what's really going on and learn. I mean, that's what creates the intimacy and the connection in the relationship, is two people being open-hearted with themselves and with each other. Now, once you lovingly disengage, if you've heard something really mean, if your partner has been angry and blaming, there's going to be some hurt in there. And that's when you want to go and do your own inner bonding process. You want to move into deep compassion for yourself, deep caring about your own feelings. It's hurtful when somebody else is unloving with us, especially somebody who's important to us. It's very hurtful. And so what we need to do, instead of blaming that person, is we need to connect with ourselves and connect with our guidance. And we need to be very gentle and very, very compassionate with ourselves. And this is what allows us to keep our heart open. And the more you practice this, the more you'll stay connected with yourself, and the more you'll stay connected with your partner or with others. So I'd like to take a couple of minutes right now to tell you about what we offer. We have a wonderful intimate relationship toolbox. It's a 12-week e-course that you can take by yourself to help you understand more about relationships, or you can take it with your partner, and you can find this at innerbonding.com. We also have an incredible software program called SelfQuest, which you can look over at our website, selfquest.com. You can also go to innerbonding.com and click on SelfQuest. And this program actually took us 12 years to develop. It's a very deep program that heals anxiety and depression and shame and relationships and addictions in a very profound and very, very deep way. So if you're interested in the SelfQuest program, it's an expensive program. It's $997. We are giving 40% off to anybody who's on this call in the next 24 hours. And in addition, we really want this program to be available to those of you that can't afford it. And if you scroll down to option 4, you can apply for financial assistance for this program. So if you cannot afford the 40% off and you really want this program, please apply under option 4 for financial assistance. And you can email me at margaret@innerbonding.com. That's margaret@innerbonding.com for the 40% discount for the next 24 hours. We have a wonderful membership site that is extremely supportive of your healing process. We have so much on the site. And again, you can look at that through innerbonding.com. You can join for 7 free days. We have a tiered membership where you can join from anywhere from $9.95 to $49.95, depending upon the benefits that you want. I offer individual and conjoint sessions on the phone, and we have many trained facilitators that also offer phone sessions. So if you can't afford me, there will be somebody you can afford. I do 5-day intensives for 12 people. They're very, very in-depth healing. The next one is in April, but I do believe that's filled. If you want to be on the waiting list, you can call 888-6-INNER-BOND, and the one after that will be in June. These are very, it's a very deep and wonderful healing experience. We also have a free course, which you can find at innerbonding.com. It's a 7-day e-course that teaches you the inner bonding process. And every few weeks, I do a free webinar like this one through our website. You can sign up for that. So if you have any questions at all, you can call 888-6-INNER-BOND and talk to Valerie, our wonderful administrator, and get all of your questions answered. So I am going to take a couple of minutes here. If there is any of you who would like to do a little bit of work with me on the phone, we have a lot of people on the phone. If you'll press *7, that will unmute you. And then you can work with me for a few minutes. I promise you that it will not be embarrassing to you. And you can get a sense of the inner bonding process.
Hello?
Yes, hi. What is your name?
Hi, my name is Melanie.
Hello, Melanie. How can I help you?
Well, I have this issue, as most of us do,
uh-huh.
The self-love issue.
Right.
But for some reason, I have the capacity to love enormously. They say you can't, but I do, and I genuinely do. But this lack of self-love thing is like up now, like it's up on steroids. And I've
uh-huh.
tried all these inner child things. I've tried all these things, and I even tried some tough love when all this other stuff wasn't working. But it's like there's this angry child, wounded child just ripping devastation through my life and has been for
okay.
a little while now.
So, honey, let me just do a little bit of work with you right now, okay?
Thank you
so
much.
I'd like you to breathe inside.
Okay.
Get present in your body. And I'd like you to tune into that angry child inside. Can you feel that part of you right now?
Yes.
Okay. And I'd like you to put your focus in your heart, breathe into your heart, and invite in the energy of compassion into your heart for that angry child. I don't want you to become the angry child. I want there to be a separation here where you are in your heart and you're inviting in compassion for the angry child, knowing that this child has very good reasons for being angry.
For that angry child.
Yeah.
I don't want you
and
to...
I'd like you to ask the child, why are you angry at me?
Or in your
how
heart,
am I treating you?
Fighting.
What am I telling you? How am I treating you that's making you angry at me? Can you ask the child that?
Yes.
Okay, now go down inside. We're doing this fairly quickly. I take a lot longer usually, but, you know, we don't have a lot of time. I'd like you to go down inside to the anger and let yourself be that angry child. And I'd like you to imagine that you're talking to you as the adult. And let that child tell you how you're treating her that's making her so angry at you. What would you like to say to your adult?
Do you want me to share that or just...
Yes,
do the...
yes, say it out loud.
You don't ever have any fun anymore. You're always scared and you're always worried. And we never know what's going to happen next. And you're so confused, it scares me. Because if you're not confident, then I don't know that I'm taken care of. And I really want you to do something to make things better for us all.
So, honey, just breathe into that for a moment. And let me ask you a question. Do you have a strong personal spiritual connection?
Yes, usually. It's been a little
usually.
Absent lately. Yeah, it's
okay.
Just
I'd like you to ask that. I'd like you to ask that guidance. What does your little girl need from you right now, in this moment, to feel comforted?
Oh, okay.
What?
For me to trust in the higher power that everything is going to work out and be okay.
Yeah, see, what's happening here is that you're allowing yourself to operate out of your wounded self, who's worried, who wants to know the future, who's trying to control things, who's not having fun, who's not tuning into your little girl and who's not tuning into your guidance. And so this little girl inside is really angry with you. Because you're letting this probably adolescent wounded part of you, we all have a sort of adolescent wounded part of us inside, you're letting that part of you control things. Rather than learning to go to your higher power and trust and bring that information through, which would give your little girl a lot of comfort. And so your higher power is saying, you know, you're going to have to learn to trust me and let me guide your life. Rather than being guided by this wounded part of you. But I also feel that there's another reason that your little girl is angry with you. And is it okay with you if I play your little girl for a moment?
Certainly, that would be fine.
Okay, so I'm going to play her, and I don't know if this is accurate, but I think it might be. Okay, as your little girl, I'm going to say to you, you know, you do know how to love. You love everybody else. You're there for them. You listen to them. You give to them. You're filled with love and compassion for them. But you never give that to me. And so, of course, I feel angry. I see you giving it to everybody else. But I don't get that you don't give it to me. You don't seem to like me. You don't seem to think that I deserve to have love. You think it's all about what you give to everybody else and not what you give to me. Is that accurate?
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That would make a lot of sense. And I also know that my inner child, a lot of this has all come up after an accident that left me disabled. And my world literally really did fall apart.
Oh,
and
yes.
I was like a fun-loving, on top of everything, always out doing cool things. And I had a child that I was extremely close to, and we just did goofy kid things all the time. And all of that, like, stopped abruptly. And I've really not been able to. I've been trying to find other things and see, maybe just the love would be enough. I've been trying to find other things that would be fun and enjoyable that we can still do, meaning me and my inner child. And I know there's a lot of anger around that I made the choices that led us to this situation. And then I've been angry and punishing myself. I took the love away from myself because,
okay. So the challenge for you is to reconnect with your spiritual guidance and let that part of you start to guide you in life instead of this wounded part of you. Okay, Melanie, thank you so much.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much. This was a great
class.
God
bless you too, honey. And I can take one more person. Is there somebody else who'd like to do a little work with me?
Yes, I will, please.
Yeah, what is your name, honey?
My name is Peggy.
Peggy, you're a little bit too close to the phone or something. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, how can I help you, Peggy?
You know, I had just a really rough childhood. My mom and dad separated when I was 3, and my dad was sick. He took care of me and my brother. He was crippled. The kids made fun of him. The kids teased me and Johnny so bad that I started thinking, well, there's something wrong with me, because if they keep hurting me and I didn't do anything to provoke it, I didn't know how to stop it. I didn't go home and I didn't tell my dad so that he could help teach me how to take care of it or get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be 59 years old in a couple of days, and I have been reading so many self-help books trying to reconnect with my inner child, and my heart is so closed off that I can't get in there. I don't know how to take care of myself. I have so many negative thoughts and feelings about myself.
Well, honey, I want to recommend that you take our free course, because there certainly is a way for you to heal here. You know, let me say something to you about shame. We only have a couple minutes left here. But shame is something that so many of us went to when we were little, because what shame does, when we tell ourselves that it's our fault or we've done something wrong or we're bad or not good enough or somehow inadequate, what that does is it gives us a feeling of control. Like, these kids were treating you badly, and by telling yourself that it was your fault, it gave you some feeling of control, like maybe you could figure out a way to do it right, and then they would treat you better. But the fact is, it was never your fault. It wasn't even about you. They treated you badly because they were also unhappy, and that's what they learned to do. That's the way they learned to deal with their own unhappiness or whatever was going on for them at home. And as adults, when we get that that we're not in control of other people and who they choose to be and whether they choose to be loving or unloving, then we start to heal that shame. And as we start to heal that shame, we become more and more in touch with the beauty of who we really are inside, the magnificent being that you are underneath all of that pain. And that beautiful being is there, Peggy.
I don't know what it is, though, anymore.
No, I know you don't, honey, but that's what the inner bonding process will help you to uncover and understand. So I hope that you go to innerbonding.com and you can download our free course. It's a 7-day course. It will get you started on the inner bonding process. And the thing about the 6 steps of inner bonding is that they always work when you practice them. There's no such thing as this process not working as long as you practice it. Of course, it's not going to work if you don't practice it. But, Peggy, I hear you suffering under many, many false beliefs. But, you know, I, as I said, I've been doing this work for 43 years. I've worked with thousands of people who were very, very badly abused as they were growing up, who have healed that, who have come to know the beauty of who they are, who have connected with their source of spiritual guidance, and who have learned to truly love themselves and to share that love with others, which, as I said earlier, is one of the greatest joys of life, is the sharing of love. And you can get there too, truly. I would not say that to you if I was not 100% certain that if you decide to devote yourself to practicing inner bonding, you will get there, Peggy, and anybody else on the call, that inner bonding is such a powerful process that if you learn it and practice it, you will just be stunned at how quickly your life changes. So I am going to take a moment right now to unmute so that I can say goodbye. And so goodbye, everybody. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you for joining. And I send blessings to all of you. I hope that I see you on our website at innerbonding.com.
You stop.
night.
Hello.
You were excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.